topic.
I'm so excited. In preparation for our call today, I have to confess, I went back through all my highlighted pieces of your book, and I'm going to talk about it in a minute, and you're going to go into depth as I ask some questions. But it was reminding me, you know, it's so funny, you came out with a book, gosh, a couple of years ago, and I'm so, so excited to actually have picked it back up. It was such a great excuse to pick it back up and look at it. It's got such amazing material in it, so I'm going to be excited to tell everyone about it.
Thank you.
So I will wait for Amber so that we have it all recorded for everyone's benefit. We have so many people literally from who have emailed me and Facebooked me who are very excited to be part of this but can't listen live. So they're asleep right now in Europe.
yeah, they are, yeah.
We are all set and recording, ladies.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, welcome to a month and a half of love here at DynamicLife.com, and we are really going to give you some amazing expert advice throughout February and also part of March, where we have the most amazing experts that have gathered together to share with you their perspectives, their insights, and their research that they've shared about finding, having, creating, and making your love a fulfilling aspect of your life. And today it's my great pleasure to introduce my good friend, my colleague, and really a respected mentor of mine as well, Dr. Connie Schottke. She is the author of an amazing book that you all need to be finding. It's called Finding Your Forever Love, Creating and Keeping the Magic in Your Relationship. It's a beautiful, beautiful book that is put forth in such the thing I love about it, it's just so practical. It shares insights, but also really shares with you what to do so that it's not just leaving you with theories and ideas, but really inspiring you to action. Dr. Connie has a PhD in psychoneurology, the newest evolution in the field of result-oriented psychology. And she has gotten that degree from Barron University in Los Angeles. She's also the co-founder and professor of the university's groundbreaking personal coaching program, PhD program, which is just an awesome program if you happen to be a coach wanting to go into a very specific angle of that psychoneurology, a fantastic way to accentuate your career in coaching. She's an expert in a host personal development technology, and I'm so excited that she is really one of the key neuroassociative conditioning coaches and neurolinguistic programming coaches. She also uses, and I want to share with you the other pieces that she uses in her coaching and therapeutic work, rational emotive therapy, rapid integrative gestalt, Amazonian herbology, and some things I can't even pronounce, Qigong, and emotional freedom therapy, which I love. She's done work in total life therapy, art therapy, clinical hypnotherapy, and she has a degree in physical education as well, which really creates, you know, motion creates emotion, and it's certainly a part of my background, one of the things that drew Connie and I together. She's been a facilitator for Robbins Research International as well as a master elite coach, and she is a master trainer for Robbins Research International. So she is a fantastic, fantastic friend of mine as well and colleague. She and I have encouraged and supported one another in our growing endeavors, and it is my supreme pleasure to welcome her today to DynamicLife.com's Love Series. Welcome, Connie.
Thank you so much, Cynthia. Nobody else can give such a raving introduction. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. I'm going to jump right in because as I started putting together my questions, I realized I have more questions than we have time for, so this is going to be scratching the surface, and I'm just going to, in advance, invite you again to share more on this topic, but I want to jump in. So where in the world do you start? One of the questions I get asked in my coaching all the time by women and men, this is not just for women, which people might think, is if you're in the second half of your life or you've been in a serious relationship or partnership or marriage and that ended and you're looking at doing the second time around or some people the third time around, you know, where do you start? I mean, is there hope there?
There's definitely hope. But I think you start with being honest with yourself. Because the natural reaction is when, hey, you're in your second half or you had a serious relationship that didn't work out, the natural reaction is to be fearful, to be afraid that this means always that. So that when you start a relationship, it will always end. Or when you never had a relationship, will you never have a relationship. Mm-hmm. So you have to start to be honest with yourself and say, okay, what do I really want? What do I want in the area of relationships? Do I want to have an intimate relationship? And sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is not yet. Or sometimes the answer is, I don't know.
Yeah.
And you just have to start with like really investigating where you are, because it's also a process, and
right.
what you want. Yeah.
That is such a great insight. I love the get honest. I think a lot of us, when we've got friends, I'll just speak for the girls here, that we think that we all need to be in this intimate relationship. And I love that you've got different answers, that sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes the answer is not now, or sometimes the answer is I don't know if I do, or it might be, I've got other things I want to focus on right now. The answer is no. And, you know, a lot of people aren't willing to say that.
Exactly, because it's kind of socially accepted or socially the role model that you have to be in a happy relationship. Why?
Yeah.
But if there's something in your heart that says, yes, I want to, but I don't dare to, I'm afraid, then that's the point where you really have to be honest and to look at what's in the past, what's in your future, what's now, what are
right.
your beliefs, and what are you going to do about it? But
everything
is possible.
Yeah, that I loved the word you used. I want to underscore that. I physically did, actually. Investigate. Really get curious and investigate, right?
Yeah.
Well, what's in your book, and I really can't encourage people enough, this is... You know, it looks like this little book, it is so packed, it could be 500 pages filled with fluff, but you've really got nuts and bolts. I love this book, Finding Your Forever Love. In the book, you talk about having a recipe of finding a relationship. What do you mean? I mean, we're not cooking a cake here. What do you mean? Is there a recipe?
Well, yeah, there's a recipe because... nowadays world, you can easily get isolated.
Yeah.
Because you don't literally have to get out of your house to do anything. Everything can be brought to your house. When you have internet and phone, you can go for months in hibernation or not seeing something. So
it's true. And I see all my neighbors going with their clicker into the garage. And honestly, you don't know what's going on inside the four walls. You never see them necessarily, right?
Exactly. Yes.
And they can have groceries delivered now. They can have their pharmacy stuff delivered. And people literally don't have to come out. That's
exactly.
So
if you are in a situation where you want to have a different result in your life, a different outcome in your relationships, then you need to do things differently.
Yeah.
And of course, everybody is unique, and that's the beauty of it. But there is like a common denominator of what you can do. And in the book, I lay it out step by step by step where you can start with yourself, of course, and then go out and find people to meet.
Oh.
Because it's important that you meet people. And hear me well, I'm not saying meeting the one, because that's so daunting and seriously. But it's just meeting new people. Have fun. Go out. Connect. And see where it's going. And I mean that across board. Yeah.
So maybe with a little bit different objective than, oh, my God, I'm hunting for the one. Maybe you have an objective. I think the word you used was really great. Just to connect.
Yes.
Just to be out and have fun.
Yes. Absolutely, absolutely. I'm working with somebody right now, and he's a coaching client, and he wants a relationship, and he was for a long time a little bit afraid of what that would do because he thinks he's not so good, but now he's just going out doing the things he's loving to do. He's meeting new people, and his objective is just to connect and to have a great time.
You said something very key in there. Perhaps one of the things, I'm not sure how you recommend this, but perhaps one of the things that people could do is, first of all, start with what do you love to do and go do it.
Yes.
To meet people. That sounds like something that you gave this guy to do, your client.
Absolutely. And it's twofold, because he got to do what he really likes doing.
Yep.
And at the same time, he's meeting like-minded people to connect with.
Oh. So they already have something in common.
Absolutely.
So it's not rocket science, it doesn't sound like, but there is a recipe. And I do love that you've pointed out, a lot of us, you know, we expect Santa to come down the chimney. So we expect him to show up at the front door, and that's probably not likely to happen. Well, it could happen, but anything is possible, but probably not. Your odds are not working for you.
No, unless you're into elderly men with beards and a belly, it's not likely.
Okay. True. So if you've, you know, I can't remember how the saying goes, but if you've had your little fingers or toes burnt, you know, perhaps you've gotten out there and you're a little gun shy because things haven't worked exactly how you wanted them to go, how do you get over that?
Well, if you go through phases, and because when a relationship is not working out, then there is, of course, a period where you're majorly disappointed.
Right.
And depending on how long or how serious, there's even a period of, like, mourning.
Right.
What has not come to fruition.
Okay.
And
so that's a different focus.
Yeah. And that's just, give yourself the time. Give yourself the time, and I mean not years, no, not at all.
Good.
But give yourself some time.
Right.
Like to go, like, well, you know what, this is not what I was hoping for, and I'm, it's sad.
Right.
And this is not what I wanted. This is not how I wanted it to turn out. And just give yourself a little bit time to deal with that emotion of disappointment or sadness. But sometimes it's translated as hurt or anger.
Okay. How I'm going to, before I get into really my next question, is there coaching you would give people in that time, that whether you call it that emotional or frustration or whatever the emotion is in that period of time, the mourning, what would you tell somebody to do or how to spend that time in a way that could be productive for them?
Well, first off, give yourself a time frame. Don't let it go, and don't let it run over or determine your life or get into a habit. Give yourself a time frame where you say, you know what, for the coming week or the coming 2 weeks, I'm being totally, like, pissed off and angry, and I'm just writing letters I'm never going to send. I'm fumbling my pillow, and I'm just going to be angry, and I'm just going to play the blame game, but just for that short period of time.
Not enough to be, I think you said something very key, not enough to become a habit. Because that's a whole other, people need to sign up for coaching if that's where they're at.
Right.
To get out of it.
Absolutely. I would suggest that depending on the head, the length, and the seriousness of the relationship, no longer than a week or two. All right?
Great.
Yeah.
That is such a great recommendation. And then a whole topic that you go into much detail about that certainly they can read all about, but I do want you to give us some guidance here. How do you get into the game?
How to get into the game? When you have decided you really want a relationship.
We've done our mourning. We've done our pillow pummeling and our sobbing into our pillow and crying in our spilt milk and all the rest. And now we've done the investigation, and we know that it's time.
It's time.
Now,
all right. here's the deal. You have to really look inside and see if there's anything in your belief system, in your thought process, that is preventing you from having a relationship.
What could that look like? What could,
well,
just an example?
I'm the prime example. I was like having all kinds of silly thoughts in my head, like I'm too old. Mm-hmm. I have two children.
Mm-hmm.
I what else did I think? Oh yeah, I'm pretty special. And there's not many of me around, so
mm-hmm.
I need a special man. There's not many of them around.
Right.
All the good ones are married and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I know that, Connie, you're the only one. There's not another person on here who's ever had any of those thoughts.
Exactly.
As I joke.
Yeah, absolutely. So investigate what you're thinking about the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you thinking about relationships and commitments? What are you thinking about that? What are your beliefs about that? And because if your beliefs are going against what you really want, then it will still keep you in the same place. So, yeah, really, really look inside and go like, you know, am I on the psychology side really freeing myself up to meet somebody? Or am I just pretending to do everything I need to do while inside I'm still going, well, I keep myself safe. I still live in my tower, protected by three gates. Nobody can come in because I'm still afraid to get hurt. And I think that's a biggie, Cynthia, because people are afraid to get hurt. Nobody wants to get hurt.
No, but if you don't put yourself out there, you're not really available.
No, and you know, a very wise friend of mine sometimes, at one time said, when I was like pondering if I really wanted a relationship, which is now Alexander is now my husband.
Right.
Because I was afraid too that it didn't work out and it wouldn't work out. And maybe in a couple of years I was at the same point, where am I now?
Right.
And she said to me, and I never forget that, she said, you know, even if you only were to have two or three fantastic years with Alexander.
Right.
Wouldn't it be worth it to have those two or three magnificent years?
And the answer was?
Yes, of course. Yeah. And
Absolutely.
That was more than 10 years ago. So.
Yes. Isn't that, that is so important. Something that you also said inside of that whole idea of looking at what you're thinking about, what you believe, something also that came to my mind is, what are you focused on? Are you focused on it working or not working, which is kind of what you just alluded to?
Yes.
You know, how do you shift that focus?
Well, it's like kind of we are conditioned to look at things that are not working or look at things that we are afraid of.
Isn't that important to notice?
Yeah, it's like very important to know that, huh? Because in my country where it's colder, and one of the first things you learn is to stay away from the heating. Stay away, stay away, right?
Yeah.
So the imprint is stay away, don't go there. And if you're sensible, a heating is like really nice and warm and cozy. So you're conditioned to stay away from the video recorder. Don't put your peanut butter jelly sandwich in that and stuff like that. So you're kind of conditioned to stay away and not do things.
Right.
And to look out for what can go wrong.
Right.
And if you focus, like you said, on what's going wrong, that is then what you pick out of many, many, many possibilities you have in your life, you have in your relationship. You focus on that one, you bring it nearer, and most of the time you bring it into your reality. So by focusing on everything that can go wrong in a relationship or that is wrong with the person in your relationship,
right,
you bring it into your reality.
Wow, because what you focus on, isn't that what you find? And it's what you feel, it's what grows, it's what you get more of. You know, we all know about the law of focus, and I've taught about that, and I know you have too.
Yep.
So perhaps the place to really investigate again in our belief system is, what are we focused on? Are we focused on that possibility you said about our psychology? Focused on the possibility of it being great and having the relationship, or are we really somewhere in the back of our mind focused on it all screwing up?
Yeah, because here's the theory behind it. Your brain is like an amazing, amazing asset we have. Mm-hmm. But your brain does always everything in its power to find evidence for whatever you focus on.
Right.
So if you focus on something that is wrong, your brain goes and finds evidence. If you focus on what's good, your brain goes and finds evidence. So it's your decision what you want to focus on, with the caveat that next to that focus, focus on the positive, focus on the good,
mm-hmm.
but with the caveat that you set your boundaries. Because it's not like, oh, that person is so awesome and great, and in the meantime, he's stealing your money and doing all kinds of weird things, and you go like, oh, he's so wonderful, he's so great. No. Set your boundaries. Huh? It starts with the selection process.
Yep.
Setting your boundaries is a great thing. Communicate your boundaries so your partner knows what that is.
Right.
And within that realm, focus on all the great and the good things.
That is so brilliant. I'd like you to actually go just slightly deeper with that, only because I've done so much coaching around this area in relationships as well as in businesses, which obviously boils down to relationships again, setting boundaries. Could you share just some examples of how someone might need to set boundaries and to communicate them? Just a couple
Absolutely.
Of examples so that people know what that means.
Right. So, setting boundaries is knowing first for yourself what you want,
yes.
what you do not want, what's acceptable in your relationship, what's
mm-hmm.
not acceptable in your relationship, and some people don't even know that for themselves.
So maybe that's important to actually do when you're doing the investigative process of deciding whether you're ready for a relationship. Maybe you need to decide that what's acceptable and not acceptable.
Absolutely. What qualities do you want in your partner? What qualities do you not want?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to experience? What do you don't want to experience in every area of life?
Mm.
Physically, financially, sexually, in every area of life, investigate what you want,
mm-hmm.
what you don't want, and maybe there's a gray area where you can explore. And that's fine, too.
Just give a couple of examples of specific boundaries that you've seen with clients. Just broad stroke, when you've coached, what kind of boundaries have people had to set?
Well, a boundary, for instance, is that when you marry somebody with a large circle of friends,
yep.
and they're always used to go out together and had do everything together, and one of your needs and wants is to spend quality time alone with your loved one, then and you need to say, you know what, it's wonderful to have friends, I love it. And it would really, really help me to have like one weekend a month that we go out together or one evening or however you want. So that's very
right.
important to just know that.
Yes.
Communicate that. And
that's the big key, to
communicate
it. Nobody's doing mind reading.
Exactly. And ask in return what your partner what his requirements are or her requirements. And financially, I think finances are a source of like a lot of upset in marriages because there's so many different boundaries around finances.
Yes.
And I know that from my own marriage too, my husband can live on a shoestring and he doesn't care.
Right.
And I cannot.
Well, but you know that, and you made decisions and set boundaries around. I'm sure both of you mutually have set boundaries around what works. So I think I just wanted everyone to hear what I think we understand what they are, but I never want to assume. I want to make sure people have
Absolutely.
Some examples.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And also, Cynthia, sexually.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like you can express your intimacy, your love in many, many, many different ways.
Right.
And how you have to know what you like and what you do not like and what you're willing to try out, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, but it needs communication so you can come to a mutually accepted, like, standard.
Absolutely. And you'll be interested in this. I think everybody needs to know. Next week, you won't want to miss Lisa Schrader. Is our tantric sex expert, and she's
cool.
going to talk about amazing intimacy and the way to, in a great way, communicate and to really create intimacy on all levels. So I don't want anybody to miss that opportunity.
Right.
So, and it's so important. Well, I'm going to shift gears just ever so slightly here. You know, one of the things that you have shared forever is that there are, and it's such a different perspective. I know so many people think, gosh, if I have, we've got, you know, there are beliefs that are out there. If you've had serious relationships before, if you've got children, if you've, you know, you're in the second half of your life or whatever, that, oh, now it's narrowed. Now my chances are slim. Now, you know, all this stuff. I hear you over and over say, and I know you've got good reason here, that actually you're at an advantage if you're in the second half. And so how so? I'd love for you to share that.
Well, the first big advantage is that we really know who we are in the second half of our life. Hey, you get to know yourself on a very good level, an intimate level,
mm-hmm.
and you know your strengths, you know your weaknesses, you know your upside, you know your downside. You know who you are,
mm-hmm.
and for the most time, you really know what you want out of life.
Right.
So the boundaries are becoming clearer and clearer and clearer, which is a great thing. And also in the selection process of your partner, hey, you know more what would be a good fit for you,
right.
and what wouldn't work.
That
because
I think that's important.
I see all around me that had teenagers, when they're 17, 18, they go for partnerships. They have to learn and they have to try out. But you just know that it's just not a fit.
Right,
and it
exactly.
won't ever,
exactly.
ever work because they're still exploring who they are.
Exactly.
And so the big benefit is you know who you are, you know how you want to spend your time, and you know what work you're interested in, you know what your passions are. You just know all of that. And you just have to find somebody who fits with that, who lives the same lifestyle, who has similar interests. And so that is a big, 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 big plus. So I love, like, for all the listeners that are not in a relationship, you're just so in the right place. And just remember that you're not alone. There's so many people out there looking for a relationship.
In both genders.
Yes, you know, so in both genders.
I hear all the time how particularly women are saying, well, there's no man. And so the truth is there are men and there are women and there's lots of both.
Absolutely, and there's even, this is jokingly said, men out there who want to commit and want to have a relationship. Yeah.
Yes, there are.
Absolutely.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm going to shift slightly because something that is fantastic about your life is that not everything has been perfect, and I will speak for myself, not everything has been perfect, although, you know, my next chapter is spectacular, and I'm excited, and I know you have, you know, gone over the boulders, as we would say in
mm-hmm.
life, climbed a cliff,
absolutely.
And all of that, and there's a different, this shows up differently for couples who are together. What approach do you recommend if your partner is paying attention to all sorts of everything else out there and not you? How would you coach someone in that instance that they've got, you know, whether it's work or their buddies or what would you say? Say you're already together and you didn't think about setting boundaries on the front end.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first is honesty again. How honest are you really with yourself and how honest are you with your partner? And the second question would be, how much have you contributed to this pattern?
Yes, and that's a good way to put it. I want to underscore that. It's a pattern.
Yes.
It's a behavior pattern that you get in over time, that it didn't happen overnight.
No, it didn't happen overnight. And it's like, and I speak for the women, but there's also men out there that say, well, oh, yeah, go do that. Go out with your friends. Spend time in your business. They're really, really accepting for a long time. And then all of a sudden there's like a threshold and then nothing is good anymore.
Right.
So, hey, you have to, in Germany, where my husband is coming from, they say you have to repair the roof when the sun is shining, not when it's raining.
Yeah.
So when you...
Well said.
and you feel yourself getting mildly irritated when he's behind the computer again, or when he has a business meeting again, or when he goes, whatever, his car, his friends, his whatnot, communicate.
Okay.
When you truly love each other, then you'll find the words to, in a loving way, communicate what's important for you, what you need to feel happy, to feel fulfilled.
Mm.
And you can also ask your partner the same question. What do you need? Is there anything I can do right now to feel you, to make you feel even more happy or loved or fulfilled? So constantly checking in with each other if there's anything else you can do to feel more loved, fulfilled, happy for both sides.
Yeah. Oh, that's well, and that kind of boils down to communication and just keeping those. I mean, certainly, I think so often couples don't communicate when things are, when the sun is shining. They're not, you know, they're not working on it because it's good. And what happens is then when it's raining or storming or there's a tornado that comes through, it's like now they want to do all this communicating and it's not too late. It's not too late. I don't have a belief that it's too late. However, it does make it more challenging.
It does make it more challenging, but my belief is when you truly love each other, it's never too late.
Yes.
Because you always have your base to fall back on when you fell in love.
Mm-hmm.
And when both parties, emphasis on both parties, are willing to do whatever it takes to make it happen, it will happen.
I think that you're kind of answering my next question, but perhaps you can do it even more specifically. And that is, you know, my last question was in regards to paying attention to everything else. But what if that destruction is someone else? Where do you, and let's just say you really want that relationship to work and you really believe in your heart of hearts it was meant to work, meant to be together.
Right.
Is there hope there?
Well, again, the same answer. When you truly love each other, when you truly both are committed to make your relationship spectacular, yes.
Great.
There's two sides.
Yes.
Often in a relationship when things are not working out and nothing is being communicated or you don't put satisfying solutions in place, then one or two or both have feel themselves drifting towards other people.
Yeah.
And so it could be a sign that there is something not working in that relationship. And that's a very dangerous situation because then you have to pull it back and make sure that your relationship comes strong again. And that your partner is not getting his fulfillment, satisfaction, and it can be on an emotional level as well outside of the marriage. It's a big sign, a big red flag. It's going like, you know, something is not working. We have had to pull in and sit down and talk and see what we can do to make our relationship the most strong and the most fulfilling. And there's also a scenario where one of the partnership, one in the relationship is kind of like gullible and doesn't see what an outside person is doing.
Right.
And it's going, oh, I want to help that person, or she's nice, she doesn't mean anything. And at that point, I think you have to communicate how it makes you feel when that happens.
Right.
And so when you talk about your feelings and then your partner will understand that and will be more careful.
Right. Absolutely. That's so awesome. So there are a couple of words so I'd like to talk about one after another because I think it falls in right behind that. Is the word, you talk about it in your book, trust, and then you also talk about in your book, Finding Your Forever Love, you talk about forgiveness. So speak to us a little bit about rebuilding trust first, and then if you could speak about forgiveness, how you do that.
So it's like being in a relationship is not the answer to eternal happiness.
Mm-hmm.
It's life. A relationship you have in real lifetime. And a relationship, just as life, goes up and down. Sometimes it's extremely blissful and wonderful and great. And sometimes had there are times where it's not so great.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that, and that's my concern, that we live in such a consumer society that when something is not working, we throw it out.
Yeah.
And I think that's not the answer.
I would love to underscore that right now. We live in a consumer age where everything is disposable.
Right.
So it's kind of like the fast food society. We're just like, the drive-through. You have these drive-through relationships, and then you throw out the trash on the other side of the drive-through.
Right. Absolutely. Done. Over with. And I think when you do that in a relationship, it's a recipe for disaster for the next one.
Oh.
Because, A, you have a precedent, and you make it into a habit, and you don't work on your challenges, on your problems, your own and those in the relationship. So I think when there is let me backtrack a little bit. I think it has to do with your values as well. What are the principles? What are the principles of your relationship? Mm-hmm. And I know that had mine for and I had a time where I had to really draw on those. As my principles are, my love is unconditional.
Yeah.
It's not like when he does A, I love him more, and when he does B, I love him less. My love is unconditional.
Right.
And coming out of that being unconditional, I can forgive too. It's not easy, and it took some work, and it took some time, but I can understand, accept, and forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all human. We're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We make mistakes. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of in a relationship, we don't allow a place for mistakes. In a relationship, we need to be perfect. And that's nonsense. I would love it to. But
you have a bunch of unperfect people trying to expect perfection, right?
Yes, exactly, which is crazy, right?
Imperfection expecting perfection.
Yes, and that's crazy. And again,
you gave us some steps. Understand, you said understand something and forgive.
Accept,
yes.
And forgive.
Yeah.
And really, in every scenario, how hard it is, really also understanding what your responsibility, what your part in the whole pattern has been.
Yeah.
That's tough, because then you look at parts in yourself that are also imperfect, and you still gotta love them.
Yes, I think that, it's just been my observation over time with being able to coach all these people as yourself, that we see this, that I'd like this other person to be perfect. Meanwhile, I have all these imperfections that I'm dealing with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, trust, because you asked also about trust.
Yeah.
Trust takes time.
Yeah.
And trust takes guts. Trust
takes
courage.
Mm-hmm.
So if you decide to trust again, or if you decide that that's the best option you have, to trust again, you have to go for it in the knowing that it has to be built back over time. And when you know what the parameters are, when you know what needs to happen in order for you to get the trust back, you can come up with a plan.
Right.
And it only works when two people are committed.
And I do think that that's an important preliminary, is that, obviously it's, you can't just want something to work, that it has to take two, it takes both wanting to be committed, and you can't make the other person be committed.
No.
You can only do your part and look at your part in the pattern and do your part in communication, and you can do your part in understanding, accepting, and forgiving, and making, and I love the way that you said you have to decide to trust again. That it is a decision, and we do have power. We have control over two things, as they say, our emotions, the way we feel, and the way we think. And so we have to decide, and you decide whether it's right or not, because I won't say it's always right to do that again.
No, Absolutely. And you know what? There's also another pattern that plays into relationship. We know that we all want certainty in life, but we accept in most areas that there's not total certainty.
Right.
But in relationships, we want to have total certainty that we can always trust our partner. Bad things are never going to happen.
We want a double back guarantee.
Absolutely.
I want a risk-free double back guarantee on the relationship.
Yes.
I'm just laughing because I confess that was a thing in my past that I was very much part of.
Right. And it's I know, it would be wonderful if we could get it, but it's an illusion when you think you can get it.
Yeah.
It
is. I'm going to go out on a limb and say delusion.
Yes. And so what you can shoot for is to have put everything in place with honesty and communication and really look at what's important for you, what's important for your partner in every area, and just make a plan and step by step work at it and adjust and work at it and adjust and work at it and adjust.
Absolutely.
And so a relationship is wonderful. I love being in a relationship. It's not always easy, as life is,
right,
but it's so worth it.
Yeah. Oh, well, like life is worth it, right? Most of the time.
Yeah.
There are a couple of other things that you talk about in your book that I think are just gems, and the depth and the detail, people are going to have to get the book to get it. But if you could, you talk about stages of a relationship, and I've jumped all over into what happens at various stages or what could happen.
Right.
And you also talk about rules of a relationship. So pick whichever one you'd like to start with, but I'd love to hear a little bit more about, I love those pieces of yours.
Great. Yeah, well, you know, you have to also know that since I live in America, I hear people talking about the one all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have such principle in Europe, which makes it a little bit more easy. Because if you go out with somebody and you expect him or her to be the one, that most of the time doesn't happen. And whenever you have expectations that are not being met or not being communicated, you get disappointed.
Right.
So when you know the stages in a relationship of just allow yourself to fall in love and have a great time and the world is magnificent and nothing bad's ever going to happen and you have the pink glasses on and the butterflies in your stomach, that's just a stage. And
right,
that is wonderful and we all enjoy it, but there is more to come after that.
Okay.
Because falling in love is not like unconditional love, which is on the other hand.
Mm-hmm.
And you first have to discover if you really love.
Right.
Now, because falling in love is like the excitement and it's new and it's like all-encompassing and you daydream and all of that, and it's an important stage. But really loving each other, and loving each other means accepting also had things that are different than your own things.
Right.
And accepting that and loving the person no matter what.
Right.
And then finding out if that love is mutual. That's an important step.
Absolutely.
And then just accepting and grow it into unconditionally loving.
Right.
That is takes focus.
It does take commitment. Focus.
Decision.
Absolutely. You've got to draw a line and decide that's the side of the line you're going to stay on. Absolutely.
And we're all capable of it, because those of us who have children or favorite nephews or nieces, you unconditionally love that child.
Yeah, no matter what they do, right?
No matter how horrible they are.
Yeah, they make mistakes. Yeah. They're human. They make mistakes, correct? So
we
we accept them anyway. We love them. We may not like the behavior, right? This is separating behavior or patterns from who they are. And that's what I think a lot of people forget. Unconditional love doesn't have to do with their mistakes, their human faux pas, and perhaps some bad choices that they make at times.
Right.
You know, I think all of us have had someone in our life that made a choice that was not the greatest choice.
Oh, absolutely. We all have that.
Yeah.
Multiple times, I would say.
Exactly.
Yeah. But then when it comes to your partner, huh, if you choose carefully and you find that person that's like wonderful to be with, then unconditional love, what is that? Let me keep it on a conditional level.
Yeah.
And I think that is the mistake most people make, and it's also like kind of still a way out, kind of still a way of protecting yourself. If he shouts or if he does that, and if he does it one more time, I'm out. But in unconditional loving is a decision, is a commitment, is like, you know what, no matter what, we'll work it out.
Right.
We'll find a solution.
Well, and that's
a
great position. That's a very strong, you talked about mature love and fulfilling love. That's the grown-up, mature way of behaving in love, is to find a solution. You know, if this was a mistake, to find the solution. If you're unconditional, you're in it, and you find a solution to work through it.
And that's, I think, where it comes in with your earlier question, when you're in the second half of your life, or when... Yeah, your next attempt.
Right.
It's so much more easier to do that.
Yeah.
Because you're not caught up in like petty details.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can easier see what's most important and what you're going for, and what are some details that are non-important.
Yeah.
And an example is that I'd love for my husband to pick up after himself with like his like clothes, his dirty clothes, and he's not always doing that, and that's okay because it's a non-important issue.
Right, it's not life changing.
It's not life changing, but when I would have had the same in the 20s, I would have gotten frustrated and irritated and picked a fight.
Right.
And now we're more mature. It's going, you know what? That's not what it's about.
Exactly.
It's like, okay, it's fine. I pick my battles very, very carefully.
Yeah.
And that's not some to fight. Yep.
Well, one of the things you actually talk about in your book is conflict. Do you want to say anything about conflict?
When there is conflict, you mean?
Well, yes.
Okay, well, there are
I didn't know if you wanted to
you
say anything
fight.
About avoiding and resolving conflicts. I mean, you just said picking your battles carefully. I thought, really has something to do with it. You do actually have a whole chapter on that.
Yes, and it's like, you know, there will be conflicts. Again, you're two separate, unique beings.
Right.
With everything you experienced in life, with every quality you have, and you bring it together, so that will most of the time not be a seamless match. So there will be areas where you are totally different, where you have opposite opinions and opposite behaviors.
Right.
So you can be proactive, but there will be a point maybe when there is a conflict.
Yeah.
Or when things are not going the way you want it to go.
Right.
And then there is a conflict, first step is to stay in that unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
To really make an imprint on yourself and say, you know what, this is my choosing. I love this man. I love this woman. And I let love always come first.
Right.
I don't go into an ego battle of like, I need
important.
To win. I need to have the power. I stay in my heart. I stay in my unconditional love. I want this relationship to work. So when that's the base, you can really work on conflicts. And working on conflicts is not when you're in a fight, not when you're in a pissy mood. Working on a conflict is going for lunch amongst like other people, so you behave.
Absolutely. Safe territory.
And just say, you know, when this and this happened, it made me feel the magic words. It made me feel like this. And I know that that's not your intent. I know that's not who you are. I know that's not what you meant, but that's how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
So can we talk about a possible solution? Or next time when it happens, can we this, this, and this, and this?
Right.
So actually, the had two things. Stay in your heart, stay in that love, and work on a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And don't fall for the trap that you have to be right all the time, because you're not and you never will be. So, and we all have, all human beings want to be right. So
and,
let it
and
go.
We aren't necessarily, right?
No, no.
I, one of the things that that leads me to about not being right is rules. For a relationship.
Yes.
And I know we don't really have time for you to go through all of them. You've got some magnificent ones, but if you could highlight some of the really important rules to have of a relationship.
Well, the rules of a relationship, you got to design them.
Yeah.
That's so the most important. You got to design them together with your partner. And
right.
Most of the time, have one of the two has a little bit more like initiative in that area, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But the rules of a relationship is for me to really be honest and communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah.
Yeah, no, and one of the things you also had mentioned is about working out the challenges, which I think came into that conflict piece, to stay in your heart and solution. That could be, for couples, that could be one of their rules for the relationship.
Absolutely. Because the really question is, whether it's rules or resolving conflict, what do you want?
Yeah.
And often when we go into a conflict area, we have no clear understanding of what we really want.
Right.
It's not like when you're in a business and there is a problem, you will find solutions and you come up with several solutions and discuss the best one.
Right.
And that's what you need to do in a relationship too.
Right.
What do you really want?
Absolutely.
Do you want to stay in this relationship? Do you want to make it the best relationship ever? Then what do you want? Do you want to resolve this? Do you want to put a satisfying solution in place? Or do you want to fight?
Right. Well, again, it comes back to, what are you focused on? Are you focused on being right? And you do talk about having no, one of the rules could be having no egos in
exactly.
the relationship. If it's about your heart, then your ego's not running it.
Absolutely.
So I think
ego is just about being the strongest, earning the most, being the most powerful, and it has nothing to do with love.
Great point. That is such a great point. Something powerful to remember. Well, you know, just in being respectful to everyone's time, I know we're headed into the top of the hour. I would love for you to share, you know, just any thoughts that you have about, you know, encouragement to people in finding their love, their forever love, into doing that in the second half of their life, or doing it the second time around if they're not in the second half just yet. But just any of your, like, parting wisdom that you'd like to summarize.
Well, my advice obviously is just go for it. Go find that, because I think it's wonderful when you work or you travel or you come home and there's this special someone to share your life with.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, when you are in a relationship and you find that person you have fun with, you laugh with, you do things with, it's just such an expression of life.
Yeah, absolutely.
That I want to wish that for everybody, because here's my thing. I know that there are single people out there who lead a very fulfilling life.
Mm-hmm.
But then there is an added value, an added bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Of a fulfilling relationship, life becomes magnificent.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Connie Schottke, who has just been our fantastic guest expert today. I want to encourage everyone to get her book, Finding Your Forever Love. It is just I can't tell you, every page has so much to it. Just a huge value in this area of finding and creating and really capitalizing on the relationships you're in. Just a beautiful work. I also want to thank all of you for being here today, and I want to encourage you to tell other friends as well as to tune in every Tuesday this month and the first two Tuesdays of March at 2 Pacific time, 5 o'clock Eastern, that you would encourage others. We are going to have Lisa Schrader here from Awakening Shakti next week, and we have Arjuna Arna the following week on the 15th, and on the 22nd we have Kathleen Hendricks from the Gay and Kathleen Hendricks works that have happened, and Dr. Pat Allen is March 1st. You know, some of these guests have been on Oprah, and they're best-selling authors, and I know you've all heard of them. They're very well-known. You'll be excited. And again, Dr. Connie, I appreciate you so much. Your words are such wisdom in this area of relationship, and I am not going to forget the whole idea of really being honest and really communicating and really living in the heart with unconditional love to come up with great solutions. So I thank you so much. And for dynamiclife.com, this is Cynthia Freeman, making sure that you make the second half your best half. Thank you, Connie.
Thank you so much, everybody who is listening. And thank you, Cynthia. You are wonderful and marvelous. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.